read with me. I'll let you stand while we read a few verses in 2 Samuel chapter number 11. And then we'll turn over to 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Preaching out of several verses tonight, I won't make you stand during the whole thing. So, 2 Samuel chapter number 11, and we'll look at verse number 1. It's in there. Amen. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Turn over to chapter number 12, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said unto Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and he had no pity." You may be seated tonight. Holy Ghost has been dealing with me of late in chapter number 12. And if God will help me tonight, I want to preach on this subject, from guilt to grief to grace. From guilt to grief to grace. Now, verse number 1 through 9, we deal with rebuking. Rebuking. It says, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." Now, first of all, I want you to notice here in verse number 8, it says, "I anointed thee." This word "anointed" in this particular scripture has a meaning of smearing oil, to consecrate. It also has a meaning to rub the hand over. I find somebody ain't got a whole lot. There you go, brother. In other words, it kind of has this meaning right here. To pet and to rub. And when I studied this, Brother Adam, I know your face turned red. I didn't mean to embarrass you. When I studied this, I couldn't help but think of my dog. Brother Adam, stand up a minute. I'm going to use you, brother. I couldn't help but think of my dog. Buster, I want you to turn around and face everybody. If I let old Buster out of the pen, he's a boxer, and if I sit down every time, if he hadn't ate in a week, which I don't, he don't go that long without eating. If he hadn't ate in a week, he'll come up behind me, and he'll root and stick his head up under my arm just like this. And you know what he wants me to do? Rub my head, Brother Adam. That's what he wants to do. This word, you see, brother, this word anointed has the meaning of petting. Rubbing in the oil and smearing it in real good. It has the meaning that God consecrates us, or God had anointed David and had made him a special pet and given him a special anointing. King David was a man after God's own heart. Most of us tend to remember him as a man that ran after Bathsheba, and a man that sinned, and a man that failed, and he was that. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, folks. being a man after God's own heart is a very special man. King David was God's pet. Boy, he thought that he was so special, Brother David, that he'd take the old oil out and he'd rub it in on David. And boy, I ain't going to mess hair it, brother. It's too pretty. He'd rub that stuff in and pet on him and smooch on him and love on him. The Lord loved King David. You know what's so exciting about that, Brother Gerald, is that the Lord loved King David knowing what he was going to do. Knowing his sin, knowing his life. Before he was conceived in his mother's womb, he still knew him. Yet he was his pet. God anointed him. Nathan told King David, he said, "I anointed thee." Let me tell you something, child of God. God loves you. If he saved you by his wonderful, marvelous grace, you are his pet. He has consecrated you. He has set you aside for a special work. Whatever, where in the world did we ever get it out of this book right here that the man of God and the singers and the song leaders and the deacons were the only ones that had a duty? God loves you. He anointed thee. Lord, you can't get much closer than that, can you? You see how I snuggled up to old Brother David there? Old Buster, when he nudges up under my arm. I mean, that's close, buddy. That's what you call. He'll get up on there and he'll lay right up in my lap and I just pet on him and rub on him. And that's the kind of relationship we have with a Heavenly Father. Not only that, he said, "Hey, I've delivered thee. The Lord God hath delivered thee." This word "delivered thee" means to take away, to strip off something for someone or to snatch it away. God delivered. How many times has God delivered you? Go back in time and do us good. Some folks say, "Boy, y'all just forget about the past. I don't have much of a short-term memory, but I have a good long-term." God has delivered us from so much. He anointed us, made us a pet, and delivered us. He delivered King David. Thank God. And it says here, "I gave thee." Oh, look what all he gave him. I gave thee thy mouth. He gave him Saul's house. He gave him Saul's wives. Now, I'm not going to try to explain that, but he did. He gave him Saul's house, Saul's wives, and gave him the house of Israel and Judah. And this is what he said right here. It's right here gets me. I want to know more about this. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to preach out this one verse one day when I get it figured out. I didn't have time this week. It says, "And if it had been too little, I would moreover have," past tense, "have given unto thee such and such things." Such and such things. You know what? Because he despised the Lord's commandments, God was about to take away the blessed things that he'd given David. I want you to get a hold of this tonight. Some of you young Christians need to learn this thing before you have to look back one day and realize what God's done, just like David did. I want you to listen to the Word of God tonight, listen to the Holy Ghost tonight. The Bible, I mean, it says right here, I want to ask you this question. How much of what you got was given to you by Satan? And how much of it did God actually give you? He said, the Lord said, "I would have given thee such and such." What does that word "such and such" mean? That word "such and such" means never ending, no matter what God would have given thee. There's no telling what God would have given us if we just obey His commandments. I wonder if I look back across my life the last 50 years, what I could have had. And y'all think I'm talking about money tonight? You need to go find you another place to have church. But what I could have had, had I obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and had I let the Lord consecrate me, and had I sold out to God at a younger age, and let God had His way with my life, I wonder what I would have had. One of these days when I get to heaven, I'm going to know what my such and such was. But I'm going to tell you one thing, Brother Mike, I'm determined with all of my heart and all of my mind. I don't know how much time I got left, but I'm determined I'm going to give it all to God tonight. Why? I want my such and such. Glory to God. Don't y'all? Some of y'all done got out of the battle just like David. You're in danger.
I didn't even read what happened in between. I guess we all know that story. David was out of the battle. The Bible says he got up on the rooftop. He looked down, and he looked down, I guess, into the window of another building. He seen Bathsheba bathing. A lot of folks say, well, Bathsheba didn't have no business. David never did blame Bathsheba. David looked, and he didn't look away. David lusted. Lust ate him up. It ate him alive. Tore him up. He couldn't handle it. You know, I was thinking about today after studying for this message, and I thought, well, Lord, help me, God. Keep me clean today. We had a little girl come in. She's a representative of an advertising company. I thought, oh, Lord, here I am preaching on David and Bathsheba, but here comes this young gal in. And I thought, well, she's always seemed like a real nice, she's real pretty, but she's real nice. And Vicky's in here, she knows. She come in there looking pretty. Lo and behold, Brother Gerald, for the first time I've ever seen her, she had on a shirt, a dress, whatever, scooped about down to here. All I could do was look her in the eye, Brother Troy. I was sitting there thinking the whole time, God, don't let me look down. You see, David, instead of looking up, he was looking down. I said, God, help me not to look down. Boy, I could get legalistic tonight and I could preach that. Look, young lady shouldn't have had them kind of clothes on. And if she'd been my daughter, I'd have flat told her. I ain't got no business telling nobody else. I ain't no pastor, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Holy Ghost said, go on. I'm going to move on. Amen. I'm going to mind him. Let me tell you something, folks. How much of what you had given to you was given you by Satan? You say, well, wait just a minute now. Oh, all gifts come from God. That ain't what the Bible says. It says all good and perfect gifts come from God. You say, now, wait just a minute. I worked real hard for what I got. You sure you didn't sell out? You sure? Let me tell you something. The enemy came to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he offered him everything. Everything. You think one time that if the enemy offered our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all the riches in the cities of the world and anything that he wanted, don't think for one minute that he can't offer you. And he's not going to come to you like the big pitchfork with the red horns and say, hey, I got something to give you. You can better believe that. I bet you'd be shocked tonight if you just really got to praying and getting close to God and say, God, reveal unto me, Lord, what all the enemy has given me and what you've given me. Boy, wouldn't it have been a whole lot better? I've thought about that so many times since God showed me that. Wouldn't it have been a whole lot better if I'd have let God give me some of the things I got, Brother Chris, instead of the enemy? I wonder sometimes that's why I don't have so much trouble with some of the things I've got. And Lord, help, if it did come from the enemy, God, strip it and take it away from me. And Lord God, give me what you want me to have instead of what the enemy wants me to have. I would have given thee such and such. Lord God, listen to this, folks. Listen to this tonight. What if God had given you all the things you got? Some of us measure our treasure with the wrong measuring stick. Some of us has got the wrong idea of what real treasure is. It's not money in a bank account. Not land. It's not a home. Not a new four-wheel drive truck. Be nice. But that ain't treasure. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, if you think that's treasure, Lord God. Oh, some of y'all run and shout and praise God for material things. You got the wrong measuring stick. You better throw that thing away and get you new. But right, if you ain't got the right kind of measuring stick, you build that wall right there and it'll be leaning like this on it. Be fitting like it. Be like I built it, amen. You got to have the right kind of measure. See, I'm going to tell you something, folks. We measured our treasure all the wrong way. God help us tonight. And I want to say this tonight. And I want everybody to listen to this, in particular you that are younger. Please listen to the man of God tonight. The grass is greener on the Lord's side, not the other side. You hear me and you hear me well. I want to repeat that again. I want everybody here tonight to please hear it. The grass is greener on the Lord's side, not the other side. Some of you think you can do better than your husband or your wife.
But the truth is, you can have a whole lot more with your husband or your wife if you just get right with God and you say, God, I want such and such in my home, Lord. God, what do you want to give me in my household? Some of you say, well, I ain't attracted to my husband anymore. He done got fat, done got old food gut about like me tonight. He done got the warehouse. All he does is come in, flop down, turn the remote on, watch TV, don't pay me no attention. I think I'll just go find me another man. Well, all that man at work, boy, he paid me so much more attention than what they was. Let me tell you what you need to do. You don't need to look somewhere else. You need to ask God to give you a such and such marriage. I'm here to tell you tonight, I said one thing right in mine and Vicky's marriage. One thing I said right. She said one time, what you gonna do if I gain weight and get fat? I said, baby, I'm gonna like fat women. Now that sounds comical tonight, but let me tell you something, men out there. Those of you done made the comment, bless God, I'm gonna get my wife out beside the car and let her run along while she lose some of that weight. Oh, you need to get right with God. You way off tonight. You way out. I don't know where you at, but you ain't nowhere near close to God tonight. Let me tell you what you do. You pray to God, and you say, Lord, God, help me, Lord, that I'd be so crazy about my wife that another woman wouldn't so much as turn my head, and I'm here to tell you tonight, He will do it. But He ain't going to do it as long as you're tinkering around out in the world. God bless you if you concentrate yourself. God will bless you if you give your life to Him and sell out tonight. I'm here to tell you tonight, we don't need new homes. You need to ask God to help you to be satisfied with the one you got. Oh, I dread this next one. You don't need a new vehicle. I see it all the time. Pitiful. Oh, Lord, they see something a different color. Oh, I've traded with you a couple times. I need to swap with you again. You say, well, the Lord gave me that new truck, Brother Dennis. How do you know He did? Could be. I don't know. Could be God wanted you to just ride that old truck for a while. Could be God just wanted you to say, hey, Lord, make this truck a such and such truck. Get that old thing out and pay old Jake to buff it out and detail it. Make it shine. Put some new rubber on it. Throw some new Freon and air conditioning. Boy, this thing right here rides mighty good. I wish Brother Hugh was here tonight. It rides good, and I tell you the best thing about it, there ain't no coupon book going with it. Boy, you know I got God on me tonight. That wasn't even an outline, Brother Jeff. If it was, I'd have wrote it out. Lord have mercy, God wanting to give us such and such. Lord have mercy. Instead of complaining about what you got, won't you ask God to bless it? I'm fixing to show you here in a little bit what happened to David. Lord, the grass is not greener on the other side, folks. Verse number 10 through 11. The Bible says, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and thou hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take the wives of before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. I see right here, I see a reaping. You know, we fundamental Baptists, we real good about getting chastisement mixed up with trials and fires and storms, ain't we? Oh, yeah. Well, preacher, I tell you. Brother Mike, pray for me. Put me on the prayer list. I'm going through another trial. Are you sure it ain't chastisement? Are you sure it ain't a whooping?
Oh, Brother Ken, pray for me. I'm going through another storm. I ain't making fun of you tonight. But us fundamental Baptists, we bad about thinking every time something goes wrong, it's because we in church and we doing right. And I tell you what, if you examine yourself a little bit, you find out you ain't nowhere near where you ought to be with God tonight. God help us. We get it all mixed up. Trials. Oh, preacher, I'm going through a storm. Is that right? Reaping. The truth is, God's trying to get you to let go of your little pet demon. I ain't trying to scare nobody tonight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I ain't trying to scare nobody. There's angels and there's demons. But I want to just tell you the truth, haven't we? There's angels and there's demons. You see, the problem with some of us, what's wrong with us, is we got pet demons. We got these things that plague us all of our life. It may be drinking. It may be pornography. It may be just can't be satisfied with my wife. I got to flirt or I got to have an affair with another woman or another man. And you'll come down to church house and the man of God will preach under Holy Ghost power. You'll get down at the altar and you'll pray, God, please forgive me. He's already forgiven you if you're saved. You already washed according to your sins toward heaven. You pray, God, help me, but you never let go of that little demon. You got him. Some of y'all been toting him around for years. For years. You still carrying that thing around. Let me tell you something. God has the power to rebuke anything out of hell tonight. God has that authority and that power. But I'm going to tell you something. He can rebuke the powers of hell over and over and over again. But until you actually let go of it yourself, you're never going to get anywhere. You're going to go your whole life. Let me save you some heartache. You'll go your whole life going right back to the same sin over and over and over again. And you'll finally get to the point where you'll say, Lord God, I believe everybody's got this problem. I can still come to the house of God. Boy, God's still a blessing me. And if you don't believe it, just look at all of my storms and all of my trials I'm going through. Look at all the fires I'm walking through. You don't realize it. You may not realize it. You get to heaven, but you're actually being chastised. You need to let go of it. Lord, if there's somebody at work bothering me, ladies, if a man's bothering you at work, if I couldn't fix it through prayer and supplication, I'd get me another job. I'd quit. I'd leave. Same thing for you fellas. If you've got a problem with pornography, you need to go home and get them movies you ain't got no business with. And I ain't talking about throwing a trash can. Somebody might find them. You need to carry them out somewhere and pour you something beside gasoline. And light you a match and burn that mess up. As long as you keep it right up there where it's handy, you can be sure you're going to turn around and go right back to it. Well, you think the devil's going to let you have something laying around like that? He sure ain't. He said, Brother Dennis, you're preaching legalistic. No, I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm trying to show you something that'll help you. If you don't ever let go of these things, they're going to keep power over you. And then you wonder, why in the world can I come into the house of God and somebody get tore up and I got to fake it? I throw my hand up toward heaven, say amen, just where I fit in, just where I make Brother Ken happy. Reason you can't, because you've got sin in your life, just like David. A man after God's own heart. Don't think that you can't go there, because you can. If a man after God's own heart can, I won't tell you what, a little old fat, half good for nothing preacher can fall in 5 seconds. And so can you. Listen, I'm not preaching mean. I'm trying to warn you. I want you to listen. There's also a revealing. Verse number 12. The Bible says, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before all the sun. And the next thing we see here is we see a reprieve. By law, David dies for committing adultery. Did you know that? Did you know by the law in this day when David was caught in the act of adultery, he was supposed to be put to death? He was supposed to be stoned? And right here I see, thank God for this, because whether you realize it or not, every one of us deserves to be put to death. Every one of you got something in your life where you deserve to be put dead, but thank God for the reprieve that I see right here. In verse number 13, it says that David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Woo! Thank God. That's where Baptist 101 ended right there. Brother Mike, one of the last, this probably ain't going nowhere anyway. This just to make me laugh, maybe. One of the last Sunday school lessons I taught down at that church out of a Sunday school book stopped at this scripture right here. Stop right there. Oh, the Lord's forgiven thee, thou shalt not die. And the old Sunday school literature. Went on making everybody think, well, you just keep your little old demons. It's all right. As long as you say, God forgive me and God forgives you, He's not going to kill you. Oh, God's a God of love. God ain't going to do nothing to your youngins because you ain't living right. Oh, no, it's over with. Oh, you just get down like a good old Catholic Baptist and say, God, I'm confessing my sin, dear Lord, and everything's all right. That was the end of the story, Sister Macy, in that Sunday school book. That's one reason I ripped mine up. Of course, y'all know me, I'm rebellious. A couple of y'all may have even been in that class back then. I didn't stop right there, Brother Randall. I went on and read the rest of the chapter, what I'm fixing to read to y'all. I ain't got a watch tonight. Didn't do it on purpose, but folks, we need to hear what God's got to say tonight. Trust me. Trust me, okay? Hey, some folks need to hear this tonight. I went on and went through the rest of the chapter, Brother Mike, and that's when my troubles began down there. What I'm fixing to finish preaching to you is when my troubles began in my church. You see, that ain't the kind of lifestyle we're supposed to have as a child of God. It's not supposed to be go out and sin, do like you want to during the week, get an offer and ask God to forgive you. It'd do you good every once in a while if you ask God to forgive you every day and you blotted some of that sin and transgression out of your life and you made more room for the Holy Ghost and you could come in and we could actually have a meeting every once in a while. Maybe the preacher and two or three more wouldn't be the only ones that was excited about the fact they wouldn't die and going to hell. God help us. A revealing and a reprieve. Listen to this. How be it? Because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. How many times those of you who's been saved a long time witnessed to people? How many times have you heard somebody say, why don't I want to go to church down there? I know Brother so-and-so. Why, he's a running around on his wife. I know Sister so-and-so, she's had an affair with two men in the church house. And Brother Mike, how many times do we tell them, well, you got to answer to the Lord. That's a true statement. But the Bible says here that David brought shame and reproach in the name of the Lord. And that's what we do when we don't live right. I don't doubt at all there'll be folks die and go to hell because of the way some of us have lived. And the way some of us carry our lives. Listen to this, y'all. I'm going to go fast as I can. I done seen a couple of yawning. And I have no clue what time it is. I'm over half through. Reprieve. Listen to this. And listen to what it says. How be it, because this deed thou hast given great occasion, thine enemies to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And, I thought right here, well, God, why didn't you just kill David? Yep, there's a lot of folks get touchy on this little subject right here. You can't mean to tell me my children are going to pay for my sin. This is the word of God. This ain't Brother Dennis. I'd love to tell you they ain't. I'd love to tell you that you're not going to reap your sin through your children. I can't tell you that without lying to you. What it said right here, it says, and Nathan departed into his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and it was very sick.
And David therefore besought the Lord for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. I see right here, I see a reversal. How many times? Some of y'all have been saved as long as I have. I hope you say amen to this. I hope I ain't by myself. I wrote down just a couple things right here that folks, I've heard folks say, Lord, I promise you, Lord, I'll never do this again. And what about the fellow that the doctor finds a spot on his lung and said, Lord God, hey, if you'll just heal me, Lord, I'll never smoke another cigarette. That's kind of along the lines of the way old David was praying right here. God, Lord God, just don't take this child from me, Lord. God, don't take my child. God, I'll do right. I promise you, Lord, I'll do right. I wonder how many times I've prayed a similar prayer. Lord, get me out of this one. I promise you, I'll live for you, Lord. Lord, I'll sing, I'll preach, I'll do whatever you want me to. The thing is, God knows your breaking point. And if you're His, He is going to break you. He knew David's breaking point. He knew exactly what David was made out of. And it said the elders of the house rose and went into him to raise him up from the earth. And he would not, neither did he eat the bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. Lord God, how sad. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him. And he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. And then in verse number 18 and 19, I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing no sadder than a child dying. There's nothing no sadder. I don't know if there's anything that's ever made me feel more strange than to go into a funeral home with a casket about that wide sitting there. I can't stand it. I can't bear it. I cannot go there. It tears me up. And all I could think about all day, I remember an image of a little child that was in a funeral home with my daddy. And I could think about that right here, that little small child laying there in that coffin. There's nothing no sadder than that. But I want to tell you something right here. Thank God for this part, and we don't preach it enough. We see right there when the child died, we saw the results, folks. And right here tonight, we see repentance. And I want to preach to you just for a little bitty bit. And this is the next to the last point. I got a little couple things in here on this thing called repentance. I want us to look at what happened to David. Verse number 20, it says, then David arose. David got up. He quit laying in it. It was over with. So many of us, boy, we go through something, God chastens us, God tries to get our attention, and instead of us getting up and say, yes, Lord God, I'll live for you, we just continue to lay in it. I know people that's laid in the chastisement of their sin for years and years and years, just continue to lay in it. King David here was a fine example. King David, it said, David arose. He got up, folks. Listen what it said. Back in verse 13, of course, he confessed. It said he collected himself. He quit laying in it. And he cleaned himself. It said, and he washed. He washed himself. Folks, God does not tempt. It comes from the devil. We got to do our part of cleaning our life up. Listen. The Bible says here that not only did he wash, it said he anointed himself. Now wait just a minute. A while ago it said that God anointed him. And I looked up this word anointing and I thought it might mean something totally different, but it didn't. It said consecrated himself. It said anointed himself. In other words, what it meant is David decided, I'm going to sell out. I'm going to be an apostle for Christ. I'm going to be a disciple for Christ. I'm not living for King David anymore. You know, God, He anoints us when He saves us. And He saves us from our sin. And He calls us out to do a job. But listen, folks, there comes a time in our life where we've got to realize that we've got to say, Lord God, I'm going to anoint myself, Lord. God, I'm giving myself back to You, Lord. I'm submitting myself to You, God. I'm going to sell out, Lord. I'm going to give up on this old world and I'm going to serve You. There must be a time that we follow what King David did here. Lord,
He consecrated himself. The next thing the Bible says, he changed his apparel. Lord, mercy. Lord, it'd help us if we'd change ourselves, wouldn't it? Let me tell you something. You can ask God to give you over and over, and he does. He already has. But you can't sell out to God and sell out to the world. If you really want to sell out to God and you really want to serve God, you're going to have to come out of the beer joints. You're going to have to give up your little drinky poo. Well, preacher, don't go to meddling. You can live like you want to. I ain't going to tell none of you how to live, but I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're going to sell out to God, you've got to give up whatever he places on your heart. I'm not being legalistic tonight. I know, Lord God, if God tells you, I've dipped Copenhagen for 20 years. If God let me, I'd go back in tonight. God told me to give it up. Sure he did. I fasted for this meeting tonight. I ain't going to tell you my fast. I'd give up something where I could have more God, Brother David. This don't mean nothing. You can preach with a beard this long, as Brother Jonathan said. You know, I have my little goatee on this evening. Something just kept saying, Rick, I'll shave that thing off. Rick, I'll shave that thing off. I said, Vicky, I'll shave this thing off. She said, well, if God's dealing with you, better shave it off. She said, but Brother Ken preaches in 1 week tonight. And I said, I know. And I know people at Liberty don't care. Brother Jonathan preached about it. Everybody just got tickled. You know what the Holy Ghost told me, Brother Mike? Won't you just give it up to me? Mm-hmm. Probably ain't going to hurt nobody's feelings in your home church if you got your little goatee. But why don't you give it up to me? Let me just give you a little more Earl tonight. Amen. I picked that old outline up, Brother David. A couple more drops of oil coming right off the edge of it. Yep. You really want more of God? Give up some. I'm just about done. I don't know what time it is. It's time I think we're better off. Oh, it's quiet. I feel a quietness, the spiritual quietness, not just in noise. You ain't got no business with all that stuff. If you're a child of God, I remember one thing Brother Ken used to preach. I guess of all, go way back to the storefront days, one of the things he said that was one of my most favorite, and I ain't heard it in a long time. He might have said it the other week when I wasn't here. He said, if you ain't going to be a Christian, take your sign down. Can I say it just a little bit meaner, Brother Mike Yard? If you ain't going to be a Christian, take your cotton-picking sign down. Brother Gerald, if I'm going to be a Christian, I ain't got no business drinking cold beers. I ain't got no business renting dirty movies. I ain't got bit. Now, I'll go down here to a Mexican restaurant and eat me some good old Mexican. They can have a Budweiser that big in front of the door, and I'll knock it over. I think getting me some Mexican. I ain't got to drink none of the stinking stuff. I just want to, church folk, where they drink at? Where you drink at? Can I be honest? Y'all home folk, ain't you? Y'all still my home folk? I was in Orlando, Florida last week by myself, buying cars on a trip. I went down to a little grocery store to get me a few little odd men. I turned and looked down that beer and wine aisle. I said, I ain't going down that aisle. And then I seen the peanuts and all at the end of it. I said, well, I got to go down this aisle. So I walked by my eye, I said, whoosh, bottle of wine. Whoosh, there's that beer with lime like it didn't ever make back when you used to drink. And something even told me, you grab you one of them and chill it out and see what it tastes like. Who's going to know it? You 500 miles away from Bowden, Georgia. Who's going to know it? Probably nobody would have seen me. But I wonder what I'd have lost. Brother Dennis, you legalist. No, I ain't. I tell you what, I had a cousin one time. witnessed to him ever since God saved me at a young age. And he had tears in his eyes one time at my body shower. And I said, "Jeff, what keeps you from getting saved?" He said, "Dennis, if you want to know the truth," he said, "I like drinking beer." He said, "If I come to church to get saved, I have to give up my beer." I said, "I tell you what I'll do, Jeff. I give anybody the same promise. You get saved and you get in a God-fearing, Bible-preaching church, and you go regular for a year, if you can still pop you a beer, I'll drink one with you." God lets you go ahead, but you ain't never going to get where God wants you to be. And I wonder, you know, if we don't get where we want us to be, I wonder how many things have happened in my life over the last almost 40 years. It'll be 40 years in March. How many in the last 40 years, what all has happened to me because I've disobeyed God, because I've despised the commandments of this book? Brother Randall, I probably thought, well, it's just a trial. Oh, poor old me. God bless my heart. But thank God, this last part, I'm glad I'm getting to the honey now. Trying to put a little honey in it. I found out Vic Jean told me that you catch a lot more flies with honey. I'm thinking catch some right here. Listen to this right here, folks. Verse number 22, it says, "And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? It says, but now he is dead, therefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me." And right here, the last point tonight, and then I'm going to turn and read some scripture. The restoration. I see in this verse 24, I see restoration. Listen to this. And David, why are we so scared to read this verse and to preach on it? "And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him." Lord, what a picture of grace. Y'all remember the title tonight, "From Guilt to Grief to Grace." God's a God of love. God loved David. God loved Bathsheba. You know, I wrote this down. Most of us Christians, I'm pointing, would have called David a whoremonger and Bathsheba a harlot. But God, what did God do? He blessed them. He blessed them with a little baby called Solomon that wrote some words in Proverbs chapter 3 about verse number 5 that's helped me get through my life. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I don't know what time it is. I got to read this. Son, if I don't, I believe God would kill me. Ugh. Proverbs. Let's turn over to Proverbs. There's a verse right after that. "Son, God made it stand up in my mind about this tall." It says, "In all thy ways, he shall direct the paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of thy increase." Listen to this. Listen to this. "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." This is not talking about physical barns. It is not talking about the barns at your house. It's not talking about your checking account. And it's not talking about the wine that you drink. Because, folk, right here, these barns mean storehouses. And these presses are presses that were hewn out of a rock to where they would take the grapes, and they put them in that rock and they'd stomp on those grapes. And the Bible says right here, for some reason or another, that grape juice that came out of that rock would not get you drunk. It was not alcoholic. But right here in this scripture, the Bible says that new wine would come out of these rocks. That new wine will get you drunk and it will get you tore up. It's very intoxicating. Thank God, folks. Thank God if we'll trust in the Lord, if we'll mind the Lord, we'll have plenty in our storehouse to eat on. Thank God there'll be new wine that we can come in and drink. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you looking for such and such in a bottle. Some of you looking for such and such in a pill. Some of you looking for such and such in a joint. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you get right with God, the Bible says that He'll give us such and such in the house of God. Get tore up in the house of God. I used to get drunk to forget my problems. Or I went preaching something else. God would love to give you such and such. Stand to your feet. I'm going to do something a little unusual. I'm going to read some more scripture and show you I'm about done. I ain't going to preach. I'm going to read. King David wrote, right along by the time this happened, Psalm 51. I'm going to read this out loud. We're going to see what God wants in. I tell you what, sit share. If you don't mind, just come play while I'm reading this. David wrote in Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make to me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." I think you add something to this. From guilt to grief to grace to glory, amen. Thank God. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would have given it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. What do you need to do tonight?